and welcome to Two Heads,
One Hat,
where we explore the world of event management, guided by the expertise of industry leaders. This episode is sponsored by Kirklees Third Sector Leaders. I'm Millie B.
And I'm Deacon B.
Today, we are joined by Howard Belafonte, a visionary in community activism and event planning and management. Howard brings decades of experience advocating for social equity and justice while curating memorable experiences for thousands. Join us as we uncover the secrets to successful event planning and management.
Howard Belafonte, a community activist for over 40 years, emerged as a prominent figure during the successful era of the Huddersfield Armageddon sound system from the 1970s to the 1990s. With over 3 decades of proactive engagement within his local community, he has inspired and guided countless young men and women facing social exclusion through challenging social and economic landscapes. A staunch advocate for social and racial equity and justice, Howard's leadership has orchestrated the immensely popular Deaton Carnival, hosting over 30,000 individuals annually for a day of celebrating family, culture, heritage, and place. Welcome, Howard.
Hi.
How are you feeling today, bro?
Yeah, it's good. Weather's good today, so yeah, it's all good.
And congratulations on your 2024 Deaton Carnival. It went really well from all the pictures I've seen and the feedback I've been getting.
Feedback's been really good. Really positive feedback. That was the 23rd annual carnival. We're already planning for the 24th next year, and then the big 25 in 2026. Mm-hmm. So 2026 is the 25th anniversary. Okay. So we're already planning for that already. So we're planning for next year and the year after.
Wow. Yeah. Well, brings me straight on to my first question. And what inspired you to merge your passion for community activism with event planning? And how has this combination influenced your approach to creating the Deaton Carnival?
Right, so I've been event planning, management, promotion for well over 45 years. So we're going back to the 70s, late 70s, Armageddon sound. We started off as Youthman sound system. So we used to arrange dances at the old Fartown Village Hall, at the old Burtby and Fartown Community Centre. So I took the bookings, you know, for the sound. So all the bookings for the sound went through me. We arranged, you know, at the youth clubs and during the school holidays, we put on our own little discos and dances and whatever. So I was at the forefront of promoting the sound, getting the flyers, getting the venues, you know, and pushing the sound.
How old was you at this time?
I was in my teens, so we're still at school, actually, when we started the sound. So when we started playing sound, we're still at school, still at high school. So the first sounds where we played was the Fartown Village Hall. We used to play the sound in Debo's attic. That's where the sound was born. And then Fartown Village Hall, various youth clubs. So around that time, late 70s, early 80s, we played in every... Them times we had youth clubs, you know, before, you know, the cuts and the took away all the youth clubs. And they wonder why society's like this, but that's another topic. So we played all the youth clubs in Huddersfield at that time. Burtby Civic Youth Club, Lockwood Civic Youth Club, Deaton Civic Youth Club, Lockwood Community Centre, Burtby and Fartown Community Centre. And then as we progressed and got older, started playing in nightclubs, Venn Street, Arawak clubs. We played out of town. So we was very well known. Leeds, Huddersfield, Bradford, Manchester, Sheffield. That was our area as we got older. And then we branched out throughout the UK.
So from a very young age then, you were already working on event management.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had that mindset. We had the mindset that we put on us own events, and we it wasn't just us. Throughout the UK, a lot of young black males built sound systems, played sound systems throughout the country.
You've no formal
none
event management training.
None.
But
we trained ourselves.
Yeah.
We trained ourselves. So we knew the landscape, we knew his audience, we knew what needed to be done. We did it ourselves. And we had the knowledge. Yeah, we had the knowledge.
So obviously you've acquired strategies for putting on events, starting from your small sound systems, building up to where we are today with a large event like Deaton Carnival. Can you share just a few of those strategies that you use to put on a large-scale event like Deaton Carnival?
Right, so obviously growing up through the sound, as we got older and the sound system got bigger, we played at bigger events. We went Amsterdam twice with the sound. So it was always in me, you know, event management, event planning. I like to plan everything. You know, I don't leave no stone unturned. So I like to plan everything to, you know, to as perfect as possible. I always believe, I'm a firm believer, if you've got a team, so you've got a team that you're working with, you've got to believe in your team. But if you've got a team that you're working with and everybody in that team is doing what they're supposed to do, the event will run smoothly. So your team has to be as passionate as you. You know, your team that you're working with, they have to be as passionate as you about it. And it was always in me, you know, to put on large-scale events. The first Deaton Carnival started in 2002. It was a very small event. It was only supposed to be for 1 year. But on the back of the success of the Deaton Carnival, now, for those who remember the old Deaton Centre, the first carnival was in August 2002, and it was only on the car park, the front car park of the old Eaton Centre. I think we only had about maybe 200 people max. We had a couple of performances. We never had a stage, you know. We performed on the, you know, on the car park itself. We had about 3 stalls. But off the back of that first carnival, people said, you know, we need to do this as an annual event. So we had a committee at that time. You know, we'd had a committee that worked on the first carnival. So we started planning for the second carnival. But one of my ideas that I threw into the hat was we need to do it in term time. Because the first carnival was in August 2002. But I said, we need to do it in term time so we can involve the schools. So we decided for the 2003 carnival, it was going to be the last Saturday in June. It's been the last Saturday in June since 2003. We haven't missed a year. The only 2 years we missed was COVID. And we did it online, you know, in them 2 years. As you know yourself, mm-hmm. You guys came, filmed all the acts and whatever. So we kept it the last Saturday in June so we could involve the schools and do workshops in the schools because we wanted the carnival to be unique. Wherein we did workshops in the schools leading up to the carnival. We got the kids in the community involved. As you know yourself, Deaton is a unique place like none other. So off the back of the 2003 carnival, it grew. You know, from then, the 2003 carnival went on the fields, the numbers grew. And from then, the quality and the quantity of the carnival has just grown.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing from that, the strategies is committee is essential. The team must know what they're supposed to do. You've got to have a great team.
Yeah.
And finally, dates about when.
Yeah.
You're going
so
to
So the people involved, so the people, they've got to have as be passionate about the event as you are. Yeah. Everybody's got the roles in the committee. Obviously, I delegate the roles for people. But we cover everything. So the event management. So there's a lot of things to cover. So over the years, I plan from as soon as the carnival's finished, I start planning from the next year. Yeah. But a lot of things are in place. So the infrastructure, so the stage, you know, use the same stage company for years. We've used the same marquee company for years. We've used the same portable toilets for years. But they know the day already. So they're waiting. They know it's, they provisionally book it already, last Saturday in June. So as the carnival approaches, yeah, we're waiting for you to call, Howard. We're waiting for you to call. They know it's coming. So get all the infrastructure in place. I never take anything for granted. Book all the infrastructure from early. Get it in confirmed and whatever. Source the acts. So again, acts is dependent on funding. Get the team in place. So security, stewards, a lot of the guys, women as well, have worked for years in the carnival, you know, over the years. So get the security in place, get the stewarding in place, book the wagons for the procession, encourage the carnival groups to take part in the procession. So over the years, we've had years where we've had up to about 10 wagons in the procession. We've had years where we've only had 3 wagons in the procession, but the processions always happened. It's always happened.
So you've got so many things there that you've mentioned, right? Both from a logistical perspective, with all the, you know, security, et cetera, and then you've got the other side, which is the, I'll call it the fun side, the creative side, the performances. But do you find it, or how do you find balancing those two things? Because you want to make sure you've got an event.
I'm very focused in what I'm doing. I'm very focused in what I'm doing. So I know what needs to be done. So every aspect, it comes back to me. I've got to make sure that all them things are in place. But I don't wait till a month before the carnival and think, oh, I'm going to plan a carnival for next month. From one carnival's finishing June, by July, I'm looking forward to next year. So I give myself a lot of time, you know, to get all these things in place and balance all these things. And I have kind of, you know, like in my head, and I've got time scales where I need to get things done. September, I need to get certain funding bids in. October, I need to make sure all the infrastructure's booked and I've got the confirmation back.
Quickly, how does technology now? That must have helped you since.
Yeah. Technology has helped. You know, with social media, it's easier to get information out there. It's easier to receive information. So social media has helped, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But because I'm focusing what I'm doing, I know what needs to be done, and I'm determined that it happens and it gets done.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, you've got all these things that you're managing. And I know from doing smaller events myself that one of the biggest challenges is managing people.
Yeah.
You know, your volunteers,
yeah,
your staff.
Yeah.
Can you give the listeners a few tips on how you manage your staff and your volunteers?
Right. So the staff, there's
and attendees.
And attendees.
So the staff. So there's no job in that carnival, with regards to carnival, leading up to the carnival, on the carnival day, that I wouldn't do myself. So any job that I would do myself, from litter picking to managing traffic on the front gate, to security, to stewarding, to managing the procession. So I treat the staff equally. You know, I treat all the staff equally. And, you know, to get the best out of the staff, I don't try and, because I'm in charge of it, I don't try and, you know, exalt myself while I'm in charge. This is what happened. No. I try to treat people fairly and I listen to people's issues. If they've got issues with, well, Howard, last year, I tried to listen, take it on board, right? How can we improve that? And how can I keep the staff happy, you know? with the staff that I've got. Because the staff that I've got are good. They're very good. So I want to keep them all happy. I want to pay them, but I pay everybody. I don't ask people to come and do anything for free. For once we've got the budget, we pay everybody. And the same with the audience and the people that come. Now, the people that come, what people that work in Deaton will tell you, to attract people to Deaton, it's not an easy task, you know, to get people to come to Deaton. Whether you're doing, you know, you've got a football academy or you're running a gymnastics class or a cheerleading class. These people that run these activities, they will tell you that for people to come to, you know, from people out of the area. Awesome. Yeah, because a lot of parents are reluctant to send the kids to Deaton because they've heard this, they've heard that. But the carnival showcases, you know, the positivity in the community, you know, and brings together all the community. So we ensure, we try to ensure that people coming to the event, especially people coming out of the area, have a good experience at the event, are made to feel safe, have a good time, don't feel intimidated, and we'll come back next year. They'll bring the friends and family next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just touch quickly for me, though, on risk management then. You must have a risk management.
Yeah, so we have to jump through a lot of hoops with regards to carnival. And again, I think it's the fact the carnival's in Deaton, we have to jump through extra hoops. So they have Kirklees Council have a SAG meeting each year.
SAG, is that an acronym for something?
Yeah, it's about events. It slipped my mind. Just,
no worries.
Man. Yeah, yeah. But so who attends the SAG is, for any events that takes place in Kirklees, so the attendees will be obviously the person putting on the event, the police, the fire, licensing, environmental health, parks and leisure, and parks and open spaces. So all these will attend the SAG meeting, you know, and everybody will have an input, you know, as to, you know, what needs to be in place and whatever. Because we know we've done it over the years, we've got the experience, we'll make sure we put everything in place before the SAG meeting. We have as public liability insurance, so it has to be a certain amount to cover the event. So we always make sure we've got that in place. So there's a lot of logistical things to do, you know, behind the scenes, and we can't just rock up and just go on the fields and have a carnival. We've got to make sure all these things are in place. A lot of people don't realise the things that we've got to put in place for the carnival, even the timings of the carnival. Manuel said to me, "But let's run it till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock." Mm-hmm. But we can't, you know. So there's a lot of things involved which people don't realise.
No, and I'm really pleased you're sharing all this, because you're right, people come up there and they see speaker box, food, stage, people dancing.
Yeah, yeah. And don't want to go home. It's a nice atmosphere. It's good. Why are we finishing now?
Yeah.
Why are we finishing so early? That's what we get every year.
Yeah, yeah.
We're finishing too early.
We need to find a millionaire with your own grounds in our yeah?
Yeah.
Communication is a thing that runs, or that I hear running through everything that you shared with us thus far, because you've got all these different stakeholders, you've got your volunteers, you've got your core team, public sector agencies, etc. And I guess you're the main man, you're in charge. So, you know, how do you manage that seamless communication between all these different agencies? Because you've got people at this level.
Right, leading up to the carnival. So leading up to the carnival, I'll arrange the meetings with everybody who I need to. So the security will have a meeting.
Okay.
The stewards will have a meeting. The litter pickers will have a meeting, even down to the litter pickers. Now, let me just touch on the litter pickers just a bit. The litter pickers is just an important job as my job. It's a very, you know, all the jobs are key for the smooth running of the carnival. I don't underestimate no job whatsoever. So the litter picking, We've got to leave the fields clean and tidy, or we'll have Kirkley's Council on this case. So what we put in place, we have young people that are happy. The very first question to anybody that checks me for a job and wants to do the litter picking is, so you don't mind picking up litter in front of your friends at the carnival when they're enjoying themselves? No. Well, that's fair enough. What I said to them is, well, you come to the carnival anyway, so you're getting paid for litter picking. You're not constant litter picking. You can still enjoy the carnival, so you might as well get paid. And when you just break it in simple terms, it makes perfect sense. So the litter picking, we split up it into zones. So only people involved will know this. So we have the map of the fields and we have zones of the fields. So we'll allocate 2 litter pickers per zone. So that them 2 litter pickers, maybe 3, are responsible for that segment of the thing. Rather than at the end of the carnival, 7, 8 o'clock, everybody's trying to collect rubbish, and it's never going to happen. So they're collecting the rubbish as the carnival's going on. So by the time the end of the day, 7, 8 o'clock, the fields are more or less clean. The fields are more or less clear. So I'll meet with the litter pickers. I'll meet with, obviously we have the SAG meeting. We have to have a meeting with West Yorkshire Police and the Ashbrough Ward Police. We meet with them. We meet with the DJs and sound systems. Sometimes it's a meeting, sometimes, right, I've got to ring. And I'll ring it all of them individually. This is what I expect from you. This is how much you're getting paid. This is what times you're playing. Rare, rare, rare. So I'll communicate with all the DJs, all the sound systems, the generators. Stephen Knight, who brings the generator, will have a meeting. So Stephen's a safety officer as well as bringing the generator. So we'll have a separate meeting. So everything involved in the carnival, I will meet with them and communicate with them. And then some of them are regular communications right up until the day.
What I like to know is, because it seems like you do quite a lot and you've got your finger on the pulse of everything that's happening. But do you delegate some of those roles, those communication roles, to anybody else except for you? I mean, No.
I cover everything.
Is there a reason?
In time, I will be delegating. But it's just I've just got into this where, I need to do this, I need to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just get on with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just get on with it. Even the stage management, I get involved in that as well. So even before the day, right, this is the stage management team. This is what I require from you. This is what I require from you. Don't make nobody just come up on the stage. You're security for the stage. Don't make people just walk up on the stage. Sound systems, even the acts, I'm communicating with them. Bring your music on a memory stick, for the DJ.
I like your style there, Howard, because you're still connecting with people. So although it sounds a one-man show, actually it's not, because you've got lots of independent small teams working.
Never be a one-man show.
But
I need these people working alongside me. Excellent. But somebody's got to be in charge in any operation, in any organization, in any company, in any group of people. Somebody's got to be in charge.
I love that, man. And final question for me is, after all that stress, all that almost a year of developing the carnival again, can you share with me a memorable time that you've enjoyed?
There's quite a few memorable times, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't pick out one specific, but my pluses for us after the carnival is, my number one is, it's gone trouble-free. Been a smooth carnival, trouble-free. That's always number one. Everything else is a bonus. The weather, we plan for the carnival regardless. We plan for it. It could be raining on the day, we still plan for it. We've had carnivals where it's rained and we still had a good turnout. So we can't let these like funding and weather and these things, we can't let that deter us. We've got to plan for, right, we're going to get X amount of funding to run it. If we don't, well, we'll just have to cut us cloth accordingly and downscale. But yeah, there's been quite a few, but I think each year it's gone trouble free. There's been possession's been fine and the day's been fine. So that to me is it's been an excellent carnival as far as I'm concerned. So each year there's been memorable, you know, aspects that I look back on and think, yeah, that went really well. And you know,
I thought the one you did with COVID was really good.
Yeah, yeah, the 2 years of COVID went really well. Yeah. But I've a lot of young people have grown up with the carnival, you know.
From, well, 23 years.
They've grown up, you know, in the community. So they may, when they was younger, performed on one of the stations, and they come back and tell me, oh, yeah, when I was 6 years old, I performed on the stage show and whatever, and it was really, and it, you know, it gives them... It's good for young people, you know. It's very good for young people. You know, the fact that taking part in the carnival, they can perform in front of the friends and the family. Because remember, us as adults, it's just a regular thing. But for a young person, that big stage and the crowd and then the fun fair, it's a massive event, yeah? You know, if you look at it through the eyes of a young person, from two kids, even the Chestnut Nursery kids, they just love getting involved. The fact that they're making the costumes and decorating them, and then the procession meets them at the Chestnut Centre and they join the procession and it goes back to the Deaton Centre. Them kind of things, you know. And it gives young people, you know, a positive mindset. Well, we can have positive and productive things in Deaton. It's not all negativity. So on the outside, people look at the negativities. People wait for, yeah, this is going to happen. And when it goes trouble-free, a lot of people know, well, it's always going to go trouble-free, but some people are surprised. Some people are even disappointed. Oh, gosh, it's gone trouble-free. Right. Yeah. But we give thanks. We put everything in place. We can't guarantee that's not going to happen or that's going to, but we put everything in place to ensure it runs smooth and it's trouble-free.
Well, I have to say, I've known you for some time now, and your passion, your attention to detail, you're fearless for conflict. And I think in when you're sorting out something like the Deaton Carnival or big events like that, you've got to accept there's going to be conflicts along the way.
Of course.
And I love the way you handle the conflict.
Yeah. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have criticism. Yeah. But it's part of the course.
Yeah.
Part of the course. We're running sound system from back in the 70s. Yeah. We've been through it, you know. Was the number one sound in the town for many years. Yeah. So it'd be controversial to some people. Yeah. But that's how we believed in ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly on before we sign off, any big thanks to anyone? I mean, 24 years.
Big thanks to everybody. I've got to say big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the community. I've got to say that first and foremost. I've got to say big thank you to all the funders and sponsors that have donated to the carnival over the years, because there's been many. I've got to say big thank you to KLTV, who have covered the carnival and produced very good videos at the end of the carnival. The production team and the filming and the interviews. Just everybody involved, the wagon drivers, the security, the stage team, the stewards, the litter pickers, the people that attend, the people that bring the infrastructure, the fun fair people, Tucker's Fun Fair. A lot of the people that bring the infrastructure, the stage and they're happy the day goes well. Yeah, they're always happy the day goes well.
And on behalf of all those people, we want to say a big thank you to you, Howard, because, you know, from what you've just shared with us, it's a lot of work.
And that's just a tip of the iceberg, with everything involved.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But you can easily, you know, get distracted or don't stay focused, even from, you know, right leading up to the carnival. And then the carnival's a long day in itself. It's a very long day. The day before, the day of the carnival, the day after the carnival.
Well, it's a big, big thank you to Howard, a.k.a. Daddy Lee. Yeah. And thank you for tuning in to Two Heads,
One Hat,
where we explore the dynamic realms of event management with Howard Belafonte. His wealth of experience and commitment to social equity, community progression are great examples for future industry leaders and community activism. I'm Millie B.
And I'm Deacon B.
Until next time, stay inspired, stay innovative, and always remember,
there's no limit to what can be achieved.